Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Tuesday, March 25th, 8:05 Central Standard Time. That means it is time to study the Daily Lectionary. Joining us by phone this morning, our guest pastor is Pastor Jay Wheeler from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Osceola, Iowa. Good morning, Pastor Wheeler.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest pastor today.
That's wonderful.
Well, tell us a little bit about Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Osceola, Iowa.
Well, we're a church of about 200 people, and Osceola is about 5,000 people. We're located on the intersection of I-35 and Highway 34 in the middle of southern Iowa. We're 45 minutes south of Des Moines.
Very good. Very good. And are you ready to study our text for today?
Yes, sir.
We're in Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 50, correct?
Right.
All right. And before we get into the conversation, any background you'd like to give us on the text before we start looking at the verses?
I think perhaps the most helpful commentary is to go to Philippians, the second chapter, if I may read.
Certainly.
Let each one of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I think there we find the attitude that we're talking about in our gospel reading.
We are studying the Daily Lectionary today, Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 50. Listeners, if you have questions, you can join the conversation 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email your questions kfuo@kfuo.org. Shall we jump into the text, Pastor? I'll read some verses and then we'll discuss them.
Okay.
All right. Mark chapter 9, verses 33 and following. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all, and servant of all." Let's pause there before we get into the conversation about a child. So they came to Capernaum. Who is on their way to Capernaum?
Well, Jesus and his 12 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we don't know how many more people might have been in the party, but at least them.
And so when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" And Jesus obviously knew because he knows all things, but he asks them anyway, and they keep silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. Why does Jesus ask them this question? Any thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, we kind of find a pattern there, don't we? In the Garden of Eden, God knew that they had ate the apple he told them not to, but he questions them. And so we have a pattern of how God lets, you know, he asks us, and, you know, and so our answer tells a lot about our attitude. And so, and of course, this is going to be an ongoing problem with the disciples, and it's an ongoing problem with all of us. You know, who's the greatest? This will come up even on the night when he was betrayed. And Luke talks about how they were arguing among themselves in the upper room about who was the greatest. So this is the human condition, I guess. We just want to, we want to be first.
Absolutely. That's our, you're right. That's our human condition. That's our old nature. It's our old Adam in us. But he asked them the question. They keep silent because they had argued with one another on the way about who was the greatest. And he said to them, and he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." Your thoughts here, Pastor, as he brings the child into the conversation and talks about being first and being last and servant of all.
Well, and then the idea, and I think, yes, this is a little boy, a little girl, a child, but it's all the young in faith, too. And that one aspect of this section is that we're called, and this is my sermon I'll talk about, we are called to be patient, long-suffering with people. So you have that going on. And again, I think it's, who do we think is important? We oftentimes, you think only those with the most experience, those with the degrees, those with, whatever, are more likely. And I think this is also working through the gospel. People who have money seem to be more important. And it's the last, it's the least that Jesus puts in front of us.
I want to say thanks to our listeners around the globe and in the United States. We have 10 countries listening today, including Guyana, Spain, and the Netherlands, and 27 states. No Iowans yet showing up on the radar, but Bel Air, Texas, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Tucson, Arizona. We're going to get some more Iowans on the listening today, right, Pastor?
That would be great.
If you have questions today, give us a call, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us your questions, kfuo@kfuo.org. So Jesus takes a little child and says, whoever receives me, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. What does it mean to receive a child in Jesus' name?
Oh, well, acceptance. There is no barriers with Jesus. There's, all the artificial barriers that people place. In that setting, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they've set up a lot of various barriers. Mm-hmm. And I think Jesus is crumbling the walls down. We're all saved by grace through faith in him. That's the place to begin with that.
Sure. Backing up a little bit, in verse 35, when Jesus says, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. The word servant here, would this be, in using this term, would this be offensive to any for him to say that you must be last or be servant of all?
Well, I guess it is to all of us, to our human nature. We want to be first. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Jesus is the very example of this. He who was the greatest became the servant. He illustrates it. He gives us this example. And that's why I wanted to read Philippians, the second chapter. What he did is a perfect example of being the servant. And that's what frees us so that we're able to be servant to others. That should be our highest goal, not to be lording it over other people.
Any other thoughts on up through verse 37 there, Pastor, that you'd like to share with us before we press on ahead to the next paragraph?
Oh, no.
Already?
Move on.
Already. Very good. We are in Mark chapter 9, verse 38. John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. So John says, in verse 38, John says, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us.
Well, I think, first of all, John is picking up what Jesus is teaching. He's applying it, and he goes, oh, wait a minute, maybe what we were doing there was incorrect. And so, and Jesus says, you're right. Don't stop him. And so, lesson learned by John. But again, of course, it's a lesson that we have to continually struggle to learn. I'm sure John was with the rest of them, still arguing about who was the most important, even right up to the time when Jesus was arrested. But John's catching on here. He's learning. And there's no neutral ground.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be neutral. We're either for Jesus or against him. And I don't know if I should go on, but I think this is cutting to the point that we need to be patient with people. You know, there's the narrow path of being patient and yet not letting anything and everything go. And so it is a struggle. This is not an easy task.
So Jesus says, do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. So if they're not against Jesus, then they're for him. Does that mean that if someone is neutral on something, then they're for Jesus?
No. I think if you're trying to be neutral, then you're really against. He who does not gather scatters. It's one or the other. There's no neutral corner for people. And we can't be passive about this. But on the other hand, I said this in the sermon, that, you know, Jesus is not really commending this man. When he says, well, anyone who does this won't be able to speak evil of me quickly, you know, hopefully that man is on his way to fully understand. And that's the struggle. We have to be patient with people to come to fullness of faith and realize that sometimes they can say they can cause barriers that doesn't need to exist. It's just being patient.
Sure. Verse 41, for truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward.
Well, think of in the final days, they were in Jerusalem, and in Luke, the 20th chapter, and this touches the point I was trying to get at. In the very end of Luke 20, in the hearing of all the people, he said to his disciples, beware of the scribes who walk around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses for a pretense, making long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. The apostles grew up in an atmosphere where the very religious had put on quite a show. And then in the beginning of Luke 21, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put two small copper coins. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contribute out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. And so it's giving that cup of water, cold water, to a disciple because they're a disciple. It's not an act of showing off. It's an act of simple faith in that the least, their actions are blessed by the Lord, by the faith that's revealed in even the smallest of actions, the smallest of charity.
And those are done in faith, as you said.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
When those are done in faith, then those are Christ's work that are being done. They're not our old Adam, but rather it's when it's done in faith, it's done by the power of Christ.
Right.
We are studying Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 50 today with Pastor Jay Wheeler from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Osceola, Iowa. If you have questions today, you can give us a call. The number is 314-821-7200. 1-800-730-2727 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email your questions, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take some questions. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue pressing on with the text and getting into and digging into God's Word as we study Mark chapter 9 today. Stick around for more His Time right after this.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Former President Jimmy Carter says male-dominated religions contribute to the abuse of women.
That is really derived, I would say indirectly, from the fact that religious leaders say that women are inferior in the eyes of God, which is a false interpretation of the Holy Scriptures.
On NBC's Meet the Press, the former president faulted his former denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, and the Roman Catholic Church for denying women the opportunity to serve as pastors and priests. Carter said some married men who belong to those churches conclude that their wives are inferior.
When they see that the Pope and the Southern Baptist Convention and others say that women can't serve as priests and so forth equally with men, they say, well, I'll treat my wife the way I want to because she's inferior to me.
Carter makes that argument in his new book, A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Violence, and Power. The Catholic Catechism and the 2000 Baptist Faith and Message declare that men and women have different roles but are equal in the eyes of God. I'm Steve Coleman.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. It is Tuesday, March 25th, 8:22 Central Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying Mark chapter 9 today, verses 33 through 50 with Pastor Jay Wheeler from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Osceola, Iowa. If you have questions, you can give us a call or an email. The number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take your questions as we're studying the daily lectionary today with Pastor Wheeler. Pastor Wheeler, before we go on to the next section, I have a question about verse 41. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. What is this reward that Jesus is speaking of in verse 41?
Well, I suppose salvation. He's not rejecting the faith. Sometimes to make ourselves popular with the powers to be, we end up rejecting our faith, turning away from it. It's just necessary. It's what you have to do to get along with those who have the power. No, we have a different perspective. Jesus says we reach out to all those, even the least, who has faith, who shares our faith, that we don't turn our back on them. And so I would presume the reward here is talking about faith, the gift given to us, the blessings, that we don't reject it.
Very good. Any other thoughts up through verse 41 before we press on to the next section?
Yes, I think a good summary of these two sections that we've had is back, I mentioned this previously, about in Luke 22, during the Last Supper, Jesus had he says to them, "The dispute also arose among them as to which was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, 'The kings of Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader is one who serves. For who is the greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as one who serves.'" So Jesus is reversing what seems to be the apparent order in the world, and that we who are more mature in the faith become like the younger. So...
very good, very good. And I know we have the sermonette to get to yet in morning prayer coming up in the next hour, in the 9 o'clock hour. So I know we have probably a little bit more of in depth on that text, or discussion on that text as well. Mark chapter 9, verses 42 and following. Shall we press on, Pastor?
Yes, yes.
"Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." So here we have a discussion on temptation and sin. "Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." So is Jesus saying it would be better to die than to cause one of the little ones to sin?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. We should take it that seriously, that we should be that concerned about the example that we give to the young in faith. It is important. And again, it's so easy in our society the people we say some are unimportant. We don't worry about them, but we are to worry about everyone, and we're to worry about the young in faith. And so Jesus is really stressing this section here. I've heard it described as hyperbole. It goes over the top to stress an absolute truth that we don't want to do these sort of things.
"And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire." So Jesus is saying, if your hand causes you to sin, so if you steal or if you hurt someone with your hand, it's better just to cut it off than to enter life crippled with two hands and go to hell.
True, if it actually could prevent. Of course, the problem is, we could just keep cutting off body parts and our sinful nature would still keep working. So, if you could literally remove this sinful attitude by doing that, then it may be worthwhile. But of course, again, it's not going to change our heart and mind. Only faith in Christ will keep fighting against these sinful impulses. We'll always have them in this life. The sinful nature clings to us like a disease that it is. But we are to battle it and realize that it is serious business.
And so how are we to battle that sinful nature?
With the reassurance of forgiveness that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, to look to him, to realize that he was truly the victor over all this. He died on the cross for our sins, to look to him. And so, to hear his word and to receive his sacraments, this is the reassurance of forgiveness. And it's putting our eyes on him instead of ourselves, and our eyes on him and what he's done for us instead of what we're doing, or how important we think that we are, or how superior we are to other people. For as Christians, we know that's nonsense. We're all children before our Lord Jesus Christ.
I think it was Dr. Luther that taught us that to die to ourselves daily is to drown the old Adam, to remember our baptism and drown the old Adam daily.
Yes. Confession, absolution, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with 2 feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. The descriptions of hell here, we see in these multiple examples here, the unquenchable fire, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched.
Well, that at least we have that quoted in Isaiah 66, 20, verse 24, the very last verse of Isaiah. Some of the commentaries talks about the worm is internal, the fire is external. This is what hell is, the shame, the grief that's both internal and external. That may well describe it. And of course, the only reason that we would be in that situation is that we've rejected the gift that Christ has paid and given to us, the price, the forgiveness that we have in Him. And the shame of having this free gift given to us by the very Son of God, gained for Him by His suffering, and that for us to turn our back on it because we think we're too good for this, maybe that's what part of what's going on here, what Jesus is saying.
We're studying Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 50 today with Pastor Jay Wheeler from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Osceola, Iowa. If you have questions, you can give us a call or an email. The number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us kfuo@kfuo.org. Pastor, after the description of hell here, that where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, then Jesus says, for everyone will be salted with fire. What does it mean to be salted with fire?
Well, if you look through the Bible, especially in the Gospels, fire is usually literally just fire, or connected with hell. But in Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said of Jesus, He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So is this fire the persecutions that Christians go through in this life, that there's no way to avoid it? There's a certain group of Christians, especially in America, that feel that, well, if you have enough faith, you won't suffer. There won't be any pain. You'll be successful. You'll be rich, and so forth. No, that's not what's been promised at all. We will face trials and troubles and heartaches and tribulations. We will be salted with fire. The destruction that is already beginning in the world, it also hits us. But it doesn't destroy us, but it salts us. It preserves us. It helps us to be a seasoning in the world. So I guess that's how I would begin to look at this, for mm-hmm. everyone will be salted with fire.
So salt is used to preserve. It's
yes.
used to keep. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. So verse 50, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, then what good is it? How are you going to make it salty again? Can you make it salty again if salt loses its saltiness? Is this a rhetorical question?
Well, I suppose. If you're talking about salt being a preservative and you so contaminate it that it can no longer help preserve, that's one aspect of the problem. We as Christians are to be a seasoning and a preservative in our world. And sometimes it's kind of hard to imagine that of ourselves, but this is what we're called to be. So if we become so contaminated with the world's sinfulness, rebellion, unfaithfulness, lack of belief, then what good are we? And of course, how will we make it salty again? Well, I'll jump a little bit here, but by confessing our sins, what you brought up about what Luther said about confessing our sins daily, confession and absolution, that's the only way. And then again, sometimes that strikes us as fire because we don't want to confess our sinfulness. We don't want to have to admit that we're not perfect or we're not the best, but that's the way to be salt again. And so that's how to have salt. And then to me, that's how to have salt in ourselves, that continuous repentance and turning to Jesus. And then flowing from that, we have peace with one another. We're patient. We work to be gentle with each other, to show the same kind of loving kindness that God shows to us, to those around us. So
have salt and be at peace with one another. So show loving kindness to one another is what you're saying.
Yes. Be patient. I think that's the old, that you got, again, this is a narrow path. On one hand, we are to be the salt. We're not to just give in to everything. We need to stand and make a good confession. But then on the other side, but we're to be patient with people and long-suffering with them. And willing to work and realize that we're not perfect either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this narrow path between those two things.
Sure. When we realize that, when we recognize that we carry in us that old Adam, and as you said earlier, when we confess that sin and receive that forgiveness, that helps us to be at peace with one another. Because we can acknowledge that they too are in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Pastor, any other thoughts on our text today overall, verses 33 through 50, that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I think that's what little I had. You've got it all now.
we've summed it up. We've got morning prayer coming up in a little while, and we'll include the sermonette in that, where we hear the sermonette on today's daily lectionary as well. Well, we've been studying the Daily Lectionary, Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 50, with Pastor Wheeler from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Osceola, Iowa. Pastor Wheeler, thanks so much for being our guest pastor today on His Time.
It's been an honor. Thank you.
God's blessings to you and the saints at Emmanuel.
Thank you, sir, and with you.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll enjoy some sacred music, and then during the 9 o'clock hour, we'll join together for morning prayer, and we'll hear that sermonette from Pastor Wheeler as well. So stick around for more His Time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.